How can you tell when an older family member isn't safe at home? And what can you do about it? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me to discuss the more complicated cases of caring for aging loved ones and how to find resources to help them are President and CEO of Caring Transitions Cincinnati East, Gina Siegel, attorney Olivia Smith, ProSeniors Ombudsman Program Director Eric Carpenter, and Council on Aging Social Worker and Integrated Care Supervisor Brittany Wolms. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brittany, how common is it for older adults to live in unsafe homes, homes that maybe are in disrepair or where there might be hoarding involved?
Unfortunately, I would say it's something that's more common than we would like. Our seniors, as they age in the community, we know the cost of living is rising and their available funds to care for their homes is decreasing. So unfortunately, long-term neglect can accumulate and it's just a problem that's more prevalent.
And Eric, when you have an older family member you're worried about, how challenging can it be to really prioritize the safety of their home when there are so many other concerns? There's health care, there's maybe cognitive decline. I mean, how tricky is that?
Depending on the situation, very tricky, especially if you don't know what you don't know. And so what I would want to take the opportunity to say is feel free to call ProSeniors. We have three services that we offer. One of them is a free legal helpline for any state of Ohio resident aged 60 or older and their sponsor. And so if you're facing things like income problem, we talk to folks about mortgage foreclosure. We talk to folks about landlord-tenant law. We talk to folks about Social Security and disability. And so if those are things that are impacting your loved ones, please feel free to reach out. Again, it's a free service. It's just appointment-based, and you can call on behalf of your loved one.
Gina, what are signs that a home is no longer safe? I mean, there's, you know, there's a little dust, there's a little clutter, but when does it get to that point where there's a safety concern?
The potential client will say, I'm a hoarder, or do you think I'm a hoarder, which is, you know, not a great question, but there's truly a difference between clutter and collecting versus hoarding. So someone can live in a cluttered home as a collector, and we've worked with clients who had 13 display hutches filled with 300 boxes worth of egg cups, Santas, you know, different things. But they display them, and they're proud of them. It's organized. It's purposeful. It's intentional. And then you have the other side where the hoarding is more chaotic. It's out of control. It's unhealthy. It's unsafe because you can't even physically walk through the house. It's walking through
just piles,
shifting
and piles.
Sand. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's there tends to be rodents. You know, there can be bats, rats, bugs, infestations. So, and there's clearly a difference when you walk in. Mm. So.
Well, and it seems like there might be times, Brittany, when an older loved one is trying to hide that from family, from friends, from healthcare providers. What are some of the reasons that somebody might not want people to see that?
I would say probably shame. That's a big factor for a lot of people. Or maybe it's just the way that they've always lived their life and it's never been an issue. They may not have seen that there is an actual problem. And then to further on Gina's part is recognizing that hoarding is a diagnosis versus clutter and being a collector is more of a behavior. So I would say for most of our clients, it's a very small population that actually deal with hoarding. It's more the disrepair in their homes that's an issue.
Yeah. Does the Council on Aging have ways to kind of get involved and help discover those potential safety issues when maybe somebody's trying to kind of keep that out of sight of family or friends? I imagine some of it's a concern that, hey, I'm going to lose my independence. If somebody thinks I can't take care of my house, then they might try to move me someplace else.
Absolutely. So our goal and our mission is to keep our seniors in their home and safe in their environment for as long as possible. We serve over 27,000 individuals and on our roster on a regular basis. So our case managers, they go into the home that's one of the unique things that we offer is our case management see these individuals firsthand, and they can reference them out to the resources that we either offer for, through our call center, through our website, through community relations, different partners that we are engaged with, depending on the public funding that they have, or private funding as an option as well.
Yeah. Olivia, what do we need to know about older adults' legal rights if their home is deemed unsafe or if there's a concern that it's unsafe? I imagine people can start to feel very vulnerable at that point.
Yes. as far as their rights go, I mean, until there's a court order stating otherwise, they have the right to live in their home. But the risk is that if you haven't done the planning and it comes to this point, that a guardianship could be filed to forcefully deal with the situation by removing them from the home, putting them in a facility to deal with the issue.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, declines in mental acuity, that's a little bit different than what we've been talking about in terms of safety, but they can happen over time. It can also kind of seem sudden with people in our lives. When should that mental incapacity shift decision-making from an older adult to someone else?
Well, I think you're going to involve the doctors potentially. A lot of it depends on the situation, of course,
sure,
like everything does. But if you have a cooperative situation, it's going to be a collaboration with doctors, family members to try to transition that over. If a doctor would states that if the person has done their planning, done their powers of attorney, if the doctor indicates there is incapacity, it might be two doctors, one doctor, depending on what the documents say, then it would shift at that point. They would get certification from the doctor saying that this person can't make their own financial healthcare decisions anymore. But the important thing to also just keep in mind is powers of attorney documents are meant to be helpful. They're not forceful documents. Mm. So if you truly are in a situation where someone refuses to leave their home, the healthcare power of attorney isn't going to force them to leave. They're going to have to get a guardianship in that case.
Okay. We're talking about how to help older family members when they aren't safe in their homes. Do you have questions or maybe an experience you'd like to share? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Olivia, before we keep going on this conversation, can you talk a little bit more about guardianship, how that can help an older adult, but also there's some risk involved in that, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. If possible, I am a fan of avoiding guardianship, but sometimes it is necessary. And if you have done, a lot of it too depends on your family situation. If you have, an involved family, it might not be as big of an issue to get the guardianship. But if for the people that don't have children or estrangements or whatever, the risk there is that somebody that they don't know is going to come in, and there are people out there, I assume, with good intentions to, you know, get involved as kind of professional guardians to manage the situation. And in my opinion, I wouldn't want that if possible. Mm-hmm. I understand that there's certain situations where there's just nobody, but you can also plan and try to be creative about who might be able to step in and help in those situations versus a stranger that may not, I don't want to say have their best interest in mind, because I don't believe that. I'm sure there are certain cases where that is the case, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's just they're not related.
They don't know them.
Yeah, they don't know them. And yeah. So if I were in that situation, I would want at least somebody that knew me, that knew what my priorities were to be making decisions for me.
Yeah. Eric, did you want to add to that? What are you all hear or run into at, at Pro Seniors in that regard?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we take most seriously is the right to self-determination. And so I'm with Olivia in terms of avoiding guardianship where you can, because it is a usurpation of your civil rights almost in total. Yeah, that really is the only thing that I wanted to add to that. Yeah.
Okay. So it's really, it sounds like once a guardian is in place, it's difficult to protect the rights of the person who is, you know, the subject of that guardianship?
Sure. And we see it play out in long-term care settings, which, of course, is where we operate mostly, where a professional guardian is limiting what we see as a resident right to do something for a resident of a long-term care community. Yeah, that is a risk. Yep.
Mm. We have a caller on the line. Hey, Kirk, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
I'm 68, and I live in Highland, and I have a old 1860s house and outbuildings. The insurance companies have been telling me I need to put a new roof on my house because I put a new roof on my garage. They said, well, you know, my garage was 100 years old, and my house, the roof is like 12 years old. And they jumped me because they wanted me to put a new roof on my house. Then when I was calling insurance companies, they told me they charge more after 50 because you can't maintain your house as well. I wondered what you thought about this.
That's a great question. Has anybody run into that?
I don't have any. Oh, go ahead.
I have a little bit. So I've worked with roofers, and the current state of insurance right now states that if you are living in your home right now, you could be getting a letter from your insurance company if your roof is 12 years or older, saying that you do need to replace it if you want to still have coverage for it. So that's real. As to the age, I've never heard that, so I can't comment on that. But
I was just going to encourage you to call our legal helpline. The phone number is a 513 area code 345-4160. If you live in Highland County, Ohio, and are 68, as you stated, you're absolutely eligible. Call in and wait in the queue, and then you'll get an appointment with a hotline attorney after providing some demographic information and a basic description of your problem, and then you'll have 30 minutes to consult with that hotline attorney about your issue.
We also got a call from Jane. Jane says her mom had a fall, was in rehab. Her insurance ran out, and she was discharged before she was really ready. And at home, she fell again. Jane asks, is that something pro seniors can help with?
Absolutely. Different helpline, the Ombudsman helpline this time. That number is a 513 area code 458-5518. This is a problem we see regularly in long-term care where folks are told verbally that they have to leave, but legally do not have to leave. And so I would encourage everyone listening to remember, if you have a loved one or you yourself are in long-term care and you're told by a business office manager or someone at the facility that you have to leave, you have rights involved. So please, please, please call us immediately if that happens to you.
And we will put these phone numbers on our website, wbxu.org. Brittany, these can be really difficult conversations to have with someone you love. What's the best way to start that conversation with a loved one who's getting older and you're worried about them?
So first off, I want to say that we're unbiased. We go into the home. We are very person-centered. That is one of the things that I think that our care managers pride themselves on is their ability to meet people where they are, finding out what's important to them, what they're willing to work on, what their long-term goals are, and then connecting them to the resources to get there, whether it's a small thing or a big chore service to make their environment a little bit more safe.
Yeah. Gina, do you refer people to social workers to kind of have those conversations?
And herein lies the problem. So we love Council on Aging, we love Pro Seniors, and we always direct there for the appropriate counsel. Hoarding, going back to this in particular, is tricky. And if the person is still living and they're still in their home, it's probably going to be not successful if we come in and are going to help because we're not really looking at the root problem. If the person is living but outside of the home and we're working with the POA, then
it's a power of attorney.
Power of attorney, yes. Mm-hmm. Then we have a better chance of moving forward with the understanding that we still want that person we care about that person. We want them to be getting help. And then if we're dealing with an estate, it's much easier. You know, we're very thoughtful about disbursement. We do everything we can to honor the family, honor the person. But a lot of things usually in a hoarding situation can't be salvaged.
Yeah. Olivia, you've made reference a couple times to getting paperwork in place and being prepared before you get to that point. What are your tips there to kind of get your ducks in a row and make sure you don't that you're ready when the time comes, if it comes?
Sure. Well, it's as simple as getting your power of attorney documents in place, and that would be your healthcare power of attorney and then a financial power of attorney. And by doing that, while you have capacity, you're choosing the people that you trust to step in the event that you lose capacity or you have diminished capacity, and then you trust to step in and help with these things.
How do you know, as a family member who's trying to help an older adult who's struggling with some of these things, how do you know, Olivia, when it's time to call in reinforcements, whether that's like a local government agency, an inspector, or a social service agency, or, you know, to make the case that some places is no longer safe?
Are you asking to convince the person living at home or something like that?
Yeah, either to convince or, I mean, sometimes, I mean, I know there are times when a building inspector will say this place is unfit for human habitation. And if you're genuinely worried, as upsetting as it will be that your loved one is living in a place that's dangerous for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you make that call?
Well, I think at that point you're there. Mm-hmm. So I think it exists on a spectrum. So if you get to that point, I think you're certainly there. If it's unsafe, truly, you know, and it's been deemed that way by the government, you know, a local government, then, you know, at that point, you go one of two ways. You know, work together as a family to convince the individual that they, you know, to voluntarily go to the next living situation, or you do have to get court involved if there is a refusal to leave.
You may also try reaching out to your county's adult protective services. Yes. They can help support in that sort of dynamic.
Yeah.
I will say, if I can jump in, there are a lot of families who don't know. They live out of town. They're not aware. Had they been aware, they would have wanted to do something. And that's when shame and guilt and sadness comes into play as well. We worked with one potential client who he ran out of a room in the house and started piling things up in his front yard. Well, it was the neighbors who called the authorities, and that started the pendulum motion. But he was very strategic about where he would meet up with friends. He was very social, but he would never meet in the home. Mm. He would always meet somewhere else for coffee. So there was nothing really to suspect. Others may not see it as a problem. It's just a lifestyle, and they don't, either the person or the family doesn't truly recognize it as a problem. So,
yeah. We got an email from Amy. Amy says, my mother passed away, and in the 4 years or so prior to her death, she'd been hospitalized multiple times. Her home was not safe for her to be in, and she had problems with mobility. However, she was in denial about the severity of her mobility problems. She eventually did realize that her home was not safe for her to be in, but then her insurance wouldn't pay for her to be in long-term care. She had to return to her home, had 3 falls, which did not require going to the hospital. She died in her home less than 2 weeks later. This was in Northern Kentucky. We have to do better by our senior adults. Eric or Brittany, do either of you want to weigh in on this? I mean, I know you're Ohio, this is in Northern Kentucky, but that's just such a difficult situation.
I would just say briefly that in terms of not qualifying for long-term care, it's very often a misnomer that people get told. And what folks tend to think about is rehab and Medicare, and what folks don't tend to think about and aren't really told about enough, I don't think, is about the transition to Medicaid if necessary. And you can qualify for Medicaid even if you are over-resourced, to use, you know, Medicaid vernacular, but you have to know that you can be. Otherwise, you hear this message and say, oh my God, I have to leave, and we're back at the same point that I was making before. So if you find yourself in that situation and you're in Ohio, I'm sorry, Northern Kentucky, please again call our helpline.
Yeah. Gina, even if hoarding isn't a problem, a lot of us accumulate a lot of stuff over our lifetimes. What's the best way to approach helping a loved one just downsize?
So I'll share a statistic with you that if you've been in your house for, I think it's 10 to 20 years or more, you have amassed 300,000 plus items in your house. So just
that makes my stomach
wrap
hurt.
Your head around that for a second.
Yeah.
It's all about starting. And I think some people get stuck because they don't know where to start, and they get overwhelmed before anything even happens. They're exhausted. So it's really all about chunking it out like you would do anything.
Like helping your kid clean their room.
That's right. Chunk it out. Yeah. Establish a timeline. How much time do you want to spend doing this. If it's 30 minutes, stick to 30 minutes. Do not go to 40 and don't quit early, but stick to that 30 minutes. Then decide, look at the surface area first. By the way, choose a room, choose a closet, choose a cabinet, choose one thing and attack that first. So during your timeline, do that. Set the mood. You can make it fun. Put on music. Light a candle. Do something that would make it enjoyable. And really focus. Don't pick up something in the room and say, oh, I need to call my neighbor because she may want that. Set it aside. Write a note. And when you're done with your 30-minute session, then call the neighbor, the family, whomever, and approach it from there. So it's all about just starting.
Yeah. Sounds like good advice. Eric, you've mentioned some of the resources that are available locally. ProSeniors obviously has these helplines. Are there other things that people should keep in mind when they're going through these situations?
In terms of looking forward to potential long-term care admission, yes, absolutely. One of the things that we do as ombudsman is provide a service called long-term care selection assistance. And so if you, in whatever context, are looking forward to potential long-term care placement, what we offer is a free, factual, and unbiased assessment of any given long-term care facility, certainly in our 5-county Southwest Ohio area. But in terms of nursing care, we can give you a snapshot about anywhere in the country using a public tool that assesses all the nursing homes in the country. So I would echo Olivia's sentiments about being prepared, giving some forethought, and reaching out, getting educated about what's available and what places bring to the table so that if and when the time comes, you're ready to act swiftly.
Yeah. Brittany, what would you like to add?
I was going to add that we too serve the southwestern counties here in Ohio, but all areas have what's called an area agency on aging, and they are a resource for seniors to be able to call in to see if there's services that they might be able to qualify for. We have a plethora of programs, and we have so many community partners that even if an individual doesn't qualify for one of our programs, we might be able to connect them with somebody outside of our network who can help in whatever situations come up.
Yeah, those connections are so important. I've been talking with President and CEO of Caring Transitions, Cincinnati East, Gina Siegel, attorney Olivia Smith, ProSeniors Ombudsman Program Director Eric Carpenter, and Council on Aging Social Worker and Integrated Care Supervisor Brittany Wolms. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. If you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.